SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're going to do our 7-7 top headlines, starting off with Gonzaga rolling to the Elite Eight with a win over Creighton, 83-65. Drew Timmy just doing the whole mustache, fingers up in the air. Easy win for the Bulldogs, who really pulled away in that second half, Kev.
Yeah, right now they are plus 135 to win the national championship. Three games separating Gonzaga from history. Boy, would it be something after years and years of who have they played, who have they beat, what have they done for them to be an unbeaten national champion.
Yeah, and how about Michigan State? They dominated FSU, ending my dog of the day streak, like I said earlier in the show. Wolverines win 76-58. Michigan, one of three number one seeds, including Gonzaga and Baylor. We'll break down, we did break down some of these games earlier in the show, but the Seminoles are packing their bags and heading back to Florida.
Not only does Michigan get past FSU, only 1-4 game that we had in the Sweet 16, but now waiting for them is UCLA. Look, I know Pac-12 could be daunting, but they no longer became the favorites to win the East region. It was Alabama. So for Michigan fans and Michigan backers, a great weekend of college hoops.
Yes, it was. And also in college hoops, Pac-12 stays hot. Oregon Ducks are taken down by USC, 82-68. Evan Mobley, one of the players to keep an eye on. They're going to play Gonzaga next in the Elite Eight. But what's weird is the first time these two teams met this season, USC won by 14. They do it again by exactly 14 points. It was basically just like rewatching that first game in the regular season.
It's just this incredible run for the Pac-12. USC feels like they have an argument to be viewed as, you know, not a six seed, that's for sure. They feel like one of the best teams in the country with the performances that they've been putting forward. UCLA has now won multiple overtime games, a little bit of team of destiny. Oh, and then there's Oregon State, the 12 seed, that just somehow, some way continues to cover, continues to win against legitimately good squads here. The Pac-12 is having one of the more impressive runs of this tournament, but boy, does the Pac-12 have their hands full in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, the Pac-12 definitely have their hands full, but excited to watch some more games. We have two tonight, but let's switch it over to the NFL for our headlines. According to a tweet put out by Adam Schefter yesterday, the NFL is expected to expand the regular season schedule this week to 17 games. The league has played a 16-game regular season schedule since 1978. Now, Kev, for us, one more game. I get to bet on it. I get to cover it. I'm not mad, but players are already coming out and saying they're upset about the potential change.
Here's what I'm upset about. A team won't be 8-8. I mean, that's upsetting. I love a good 8-8. How about a 10-6? 10-6? That feels right. 4-12. 4-13? 8-9? Oh, a team went 10-7?
Yeah, it's going to be a little off-putting.
It's just gross records. I hate that. No, this does not work for
you
me.
You need it to be an even record?
Yeah, listen.
When you look at it, you need to see those numbers even.
9-9 is way more palatable than 8-9. That is a gross record. I hate 17 games. All in all, an extra game is exciting. And if I were to give you a positive, this extra game is going to be an interconference matchup here, you know, AFC versus NFC. So a little bit more potential to get possible Super Bowl previews, which I can't be mad at.
Yeah, you can't be too mad at that. And I just want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks for joining us this morning. Kevin and I heading some top headlines. So in the NBA trade deadline that happened last week, but two title favorites over the weekend added bigs. LaMarcus Aldridge to the Brooklyn Nets, adding depth to the roster that's already stacked. And now Andre Drummond will sign with the Lakers after clearing waivers on Sunday. So two bigs, as I said at the beginning of the show, in better situations. Kev.
Yeah, the Drummond thing is fascinating, though, because he is at a significantly different point in his career than LaMarcus Aldridge, who will be happy to latch on and grab a title in Brooklyn, minutes be damned. Andre Drummond is hoping that he can go to the Lakers, maximize his potential, and sell people on himself, and hope that he could secure possibly a max contract or something of the nature. We'll see how successful Andre Drummond is in that attempt, but I know that the Lakers will be very excited to have him to fill in the gaps that they are going to be without Anthony Davis and be without LeBron James, because they're going to still need some extra bodies there while missing two of the five best players in the league.
Yes, for sure. And we'll talk about these two bigs even more towards the end of the show. Sticking with our headlines here in Golf, WGC Dell Technologies Match Play, Billy Horschel beats local favorite Scottie Scheffler. But what's more interesting is that the Masters are coming up sooner than we think, Kev.
Yeah, 100%. That's the big thing to me. The fact of the matter is only one more PGA Tour event separating us from that and the Masters coverage. And I promise you, we will have you covered for that here on the early line when it comes around.
Yes, for sure. I'm excited for that. Then we have UFC in the main event. Francis Ngannou knocks out Stipe Miocic with a brutal sequence of strikes in the second round to claim heavyweight gold.
Yeah, what an incredible sight there. Stipe Miocic recognizes the greatest heavyweight in MMA history. Francis feels like he possibly could be on that path, but very likely his next fight, at least we hope. John Jones, FanDuel Sportsbook, already posting odds. They love doing this for fights that are talked about. They'll slap some odds up there. Francis, minus 188. John Jones at plus 155. I don't know if John Jones has ever been an underdog in his career. Fingers crossed that him and Dana can figure out a contract, and we get what is an awesome, awesome fight.
Yes, and coming up next here on the Early Line, we're going to talk about the Elite Eight games happening today. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. So we have the Elite Eight coming up tonight. We have two games tonight, two games tomorrow. So Kevin and I are going to preview the games that are happening for tonight, starting off with number 12, Oregon State versus number 2, Houston. So Oregon State's magical run continues as they head to the Elite Eight. The Beavers are the second ever number 12 seed to make it to the Elite Eight. Oregon State's win marks the first time the program has advanced to the Elite Eight since 1982 and the seventh time in program history. We talked about this earlier in the show. Oregon State has now beaten UCLA, Oregon, Colorado, Tennessee, Oklahoma State, and Loyola Chicago to get to this spot. Meanwhile, the Cougars have been quite impressive over their 10-game win streak. Houston had some issues with Rutgers shooting just 37% from the floor, and they were able to power out and come back. But in their game against the Orange, they only shot 7 of 26 from the three-point line and 38% from the floor. Got that win, though, but just something that needs to be fixed before they face Ethan Thompson and the Beavers.
Yeah, this is going to be such an interesting game. You look at the total, you look at the side, a low, low number there. Houston laying a scary amount, though, when you consider this run that Oregon State has been on. Not only 16-5 overall this season against the spread as a dog, Erin, but you also mentioned this number early on. They've now covered, I think it's 13 of their last 14 games. How do you bet against Oregon State right now?
I feel like you can't. I mean, in terms of the betting, the Beavers are 7.5-point dogs, but you can't count them out. I mean, they've covered the spread as an underdog in every game of their six-game win streak right now. They're 16-5 against the spread as an underdog. That includes 5-0 against the spread mark against teams ranked in the top 25. Right now, I just pulled up oddsfire.com to see where the money is actually in terms of the spread. 63% of bets, 66% of money is on Oregon State to cover. And then for the money line, in terms of bets, 60% are on Houston to win it outright, but 72% of the money is also on Houston to win it outright. So maybe people are leaning towards Houston winning, but Oregon State covering, just granted that, you know, they continue to cover as an underdog. I'm a little surprised that it's at 7.5.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do, though, with how good this Houston squad is. And I wonder how much of it, Erin, has to do with some of the stuff we talked about with these underlying shot numbers that suggest Oregon State is not just fortunate to be here in the Elite Eight, but basically defying all odds and logic. I said I would expand a little bit more on this when we got to this point in the show when we were going to break this game down. Again, I know people's mileage on this stuff can vary. Shot luck, shot quality, shot variance, all of these different things. But I think the sample size is notable with now that this is not just a one game happening. Against Tennessee, they won 70-56. Shot quality suggests that Tennessee should have won that game 73-66. Against Oklahoma State, they won that game 80-70. Shot quality suggests that they should have lost that game 82-77. And then against Loyola Chicago, the starkest difference, they win that game 65-58. Shot quality suggests that they should have lost that game 76-59. In all of their games, they are scoring more than they should and allowing less than they should. It is something that I just can't overlook, Aaron, that they are constantly being the beneficiary of phenomenal shot luck on both offense and defense right now.
Yeah, and what's interesting is Oregon State's offense has hit 70 or more points in 7 of their last 9 outings. They've been able to control teams on the defensive side as well, which makes this total such an interesting play. And the Cougars, they've allowed just 57 points per game in their last 6 games. So the total right now was posted at 130 this morning. It is now down to 129. So it keeps moving down, which is interesting because looking at the money on the total, I'm seeing 68% of the bets, 67% of the money on the over. So even though people are betting the over, that line is coming down, which is so interesting to me. I think for me personally, the play would be to back Oregon State as a dog. One, because you know I love dogs. I also think against this Houston squad, they could potentially upset them. But Kevin, in terms of that total, is that a little confusing for you, just given that the line's coming down, but more money is coming in on the over?
Yeah, I think right now, as far as this total goes, you had Oregon State play games against Loyola Chicago, a total of 125 that cashed to the under, and then a Houston team that held Syracuse to 46 points, and I think it was the second lowest scoring game of the tournament, with Texas and Abilene Christian being the only one that featured fewer points. Again, that Abilene Christian squad really did not score and still played 2 games in this tournament, which is wild.
At all.
Here is the 2 things that I would do with this total, okay? I would look to play Houston's team total over 68.5. On the season, they averaged 76.9 points per game, and we talked about the shot quality, okay? On average, they should be allowing, Oregon State 77 points, but are actually giving up 61.3 points per game. I would take a chance on Houston's team total because I don't want to fade Oregon State from a spread perspective. They've just been far too wonderful from that perspective. I would also look for a live total. The first half against Loyola Chicago, 24-16, 40 points, okay? 40 points.
That came way down. I think live it was like 109 last time I checked that.
So this is what happened, right? The second half over became the best bet of the tournament. The number was 65.5. There were 83 points. The total pregame missed by 2 points. Could you imagine betting an under the first half has 40 points and you're sweating it out towards the end? So I would look for Houston's team total, and I'd look for a live, maybe second half over, Aaron, and see if these teams can start to break out of a slump in half number 2.
Yeah, that's definitely some good advice there. I'm going to Oregon State, like I said, to cover on the spread, even though it seems a little risky to be doing that. And then in terms of the total, Kevin makes a great point of just maybe live betting that, waiting to see what happens, because like you mentioned, that Loyola Chicago game, just 16 points in the first half was absolutely insane. And of course, live betting that, you might be able to get a better number. Let's switch over to the last game that's on the board for tonight. I wish this game wasn't so late, because I know I'm going to fall asleep. Number 3, Arkansas versus number 1, Baylor. So we have a Big 12 SEC matchup with the Southwest. A little confident conference flavor here. So Baylor is looking for its first trip to the Final Four since 1950. Baylor making its third Elite Eight appearance since 2010. Baylor entered the last game against Villanova as the best three-point shooting team in the country, and the Bears were absolutely terrible from beyond the arc on Saturday. They were ice cold, but so were the Razorbacks, going 1 of 9 from beyond the arc in their win over Syracuse. So will that be something to keep an eye on for tonight? Whoever gets hot from the beyond the arc is going to win this one?
Yeah, it's really fascinating, because if both of these teams do catch fire, then this over all of a sudden, right, would feel incredible. Number checks in at 148.5, but, you know, these teams have been playing towards the under right now. Arkansas has cashed under tickets 8 of the last 10 in 5 consecutive games. Baylor, thus far, 2 of their 3 have gone under, but here's the more important thing. The average amount of points scored in these Baylor tournament games, Aaron, 128.7. At 20 less points than this total that we have here in this game, even for me, real hard to not like the under in this basketball game.
Yeah, and looking at oddsfire.com right now, the under seems to be the play with 64% of the bets and 61% of the money right now on that under, so not surprising there. But in terms of the money line, I mean, it's heavy, heavy on Baylor. 90% of the money is on Baylor to win this one, and 77% of the bets also on Baylor to win this one. In terms of the spread right now, from betting perspective, Baylor's laying 8, just like in their last matchup against Villanova, basically. Mm-hmm. So people are backing Baylor in the spot, so people have really lacking faith, I guess, against this Arkansas team. What do you think is going to happen in terms of this play? Should you actually just maybe change your perspective on betting on these three markets and go for the first half point spread? I feel like Baylor at -4 might be a good play there too. Baylor,
I think in the first half is a decent look, because Arkansas has come out the gate slow. They've been down double digits in 2 of their games and then lost the first half outright to Oral Roberts. So, Aaron, I think you make a solid point there. Arkansas consistently getting down, jumping on Baylor, get in, get out. That makes sense.
Yes, I think that could be the play. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid and SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We're going to get into the NBA now. So favorites yesterday went 4-0 straight up, but only 2-2 against the spread as Hornets and Magic covered in losses. Over-unders split 2-2. But more importantly, over the weekend, we have Andre Drummond. He signed with the Lakers after clearing waivers yesterday. So two bigs are going to be in better situations. But let's start off first talking about Andre Drummond to the Lakers. How is he going to help, given that, you know, LeBron is injured right now and so is AD?
Well, that's the big thing there, Aaron. Is Andre Drummond, for the debates that exist online about how actually good he is, how actually valuable he is, they need somebody to just come in there and produce. Offensively, they are a nightmare. And Drummond in Cleveland was averaging 17.5 points per game. I know the efficiency isn't otherworldly, but just having a guy that defenses are going to pay attention to and are going to respect, whether you at home believe they should or not, is still valuable for this Lakers team right now that is struggling to find buckets consistently. And I'm excited to see what Andre Drummond can do with the Lakers. Aaron, this is his 9th year in the NBA. Once he has been on a team above 500 in his entire career. Frank Vogel is the best coach that he will have ever played for, who is a phenomenal defensive coach that could possibly take Drummond's skill set and turn him into a high-level defensive player, because he puts up great numbers statistically on the defensive side of the basketball. And then you think about the teammates when these guys get back. He's never played with a guy like LeBron. He's never played with an Anthony Davis. Heck, Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder are upgrades from who Andre Drummond has been playing with during this point in his career. So if I'm Andre Drummond, I'm excited about maximizing my potential in a winning situation like the Lakers. And I think if you're the Lakers, this is the kind of guy that you need right now for this run without AD and LeBron, maybe even more than you need him to actually secure the NBA championship when everybody is back healthy.
Yeah, what's interesting is the Lakers obviously have just won their past two games, even obviously without having LeBron or AD. Now they're going to, you know, add him into the mix, Andre Drummond. Do you think that based on putting pieces into a team this far into the season, do you think he will adapt to the Lakers' overall play and he'll be able to make an impact immediately?
It's such a good point because he's going to have multiple periods of adapting. First of all, Andre Drummond hasn't played since like January. Remember? The Cavs are like, yeah, we'll find a trade. And then they just took him. They never found one. They had to buy him out. So there's that. Yeah. Then there's the fact that he's playing for a new coach and new teammates. And then all of a sudden, Anthony Davis is going to come back. And he's going to be like, wait, hold on a minute. I don't want to play with another 7-foot unicorn maverick. What is this? Oh, and then LeBron's going to come back. So Andre Drummond is going to be like, it's going to be like going to the third grade, then the fourth grade, then the fifth
grade.
All in like a year. It's going to be something very, very different for Andre Drummond, 100%. But this is still an important stretch for this team. They got a bear of a schedule coming up to the Lakers. Yeah. They needed those two wins against the Cavs and the Magic. And look, nobody's pretending like they didn't play the Cavs and the Magic. Nobody, oh my God, look at how the Lakers look. No, they don't look great. They just beat two really, really bad teams. But it still now has them 5 games separated from the 7 seed. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it. That's really all that matters is the Lakers avoiding a play-in game. And to this point, it looks like they should be able to do that.
Yeah, and hopefully Andre Drummond makes an immediate impact on the Lakers team, even though they had those two wins, not over great teams. Just not having played since January, that's definitely going to be an adjustment. But honestly, a better move for him to land on the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's move to another big that had a new position, LaMarcus Aldridge to the Brooklyn Nets, add depth to that roster that's already on paper completely stacked. I mean, adding him to the roster as well as Blake Griffin in the past recent weeks, do you think this is going to help the Brooklyn Nets? I mean, obviously, the answer would be yes, but do you think that this is too many stars on one team?
No, because I think Aldridge and I think Blake are guys that are stars more in name than production. And from that perspective, it's okay. If LaMarcus Aldridge starts complaining about a lack of touches, I'd cut him the second that happens. Like, what? You're on the team with Durant? Harden, what are you saying? You want more mid-range? Yeah, hit the bricks, pal. We'll play Jeff Green, and we won't think twice about it. I think for this Brooklyn squad, though, it is better to have more pieces because right now, Durant is still another at least week away from coming back is the most recent update that we've heard. You know, Kyrie just had a stretch of missing 3 games. I'm sure Harden might want a couple of breathers down the road. And we've still talked about the value of the one seed in that Eastern Conference. Right now, the separation is the Sixers 1 game in front of Brooklyn, and then Brooklyn is a game and a half in front of Milwaukee. So to have guys like LaMarcus or like Blake that can help second units still keep their heads above water is definitely big for Brooklyn.
Yeah, and Brooklyn tonight is actually going to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves at home, with Timberwolves obviously needing a win here after losing 5 of their last 7 games. The Brooklyn Nets honestly are looking for a win after winning 10 of their last 13 games. Now, on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, Brooklyn is laying 11.5. But as a home favorite, Brooklyn is 6-10 against the spread. Do you think this is too many points for this Brooklyn squad?
This is annoying because Brooklyn is now actually starting to struggle a little bit against the number. They've only covered twice in their last 8 games. You mentioned it as a home favorite. They've not been great. You know who's also not great against the spread? The Timberwolves everywhere. Really, no matter where you put
them. Tough spot.
Like 8, 13.
Maybe we'll look at the total.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Once it's posted.
I feel like playing this game to the over is enticing, because Kyrie is supposed to be back. We know that Minnesota struggles to defend, but occasionally can have a big offensive game. But I fear that this total is going to be real high. We don't have it yet here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I wonder if this number is going to flirt with the 240s. Then I'm going to want to take another massive step back. This is the kind of game that you wait and you wait and you wait and you hope maybe you'll find a prop after you can confirm everybody that's going to be available. Because that's the big thing with Brooklyn. They're a real difficult team to pin down. I like this guy's over from a props perspective because it feels like we never know who's playing until the game is about an hour away from tipping off.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And good thing for you, Kev, there's 11 games on the board tonight. So if you don't like this game, you can skip it, move down the board to a different one. But what I want to mention, the Bucks-Clippers. The Bucks coming off a loss to the Knicks at home. They head west to play the Clippers, who just beat the Sixers at home. Clippers right now laying one, which isn't surprising because, of course, they have that home court advantage. But this is going to be a great game between two powerhouse teams. Who do you think is going to be the winner of this one?
Yeah, so this is really exciting stuff here. And you think about it from the Clippers' perspective first, right? Five straight wins, five straight covers, and they're looking pretty impressive in these games. All but one of them has been double-digit victories. The one game that wasn't, they won by nine and pulled off a 20-plus point comeback in that game. So probably the most impressive one of this entire run. In comes this Milwaukee team now that, against the number, somewhat struggling, only covered three of their last 10 games. Now, they've been a little up and down, though, as it pertains to some of this availability here. Against the Knicks, they lost, but they were dogs in their own building because they benched the whole team.
Yeah.
They were like, listen, we think the Knicks are a fun squad. We want to toss them a win. We're excited to go to the West. So they're fired up for this game. They're gearing up for this kind of matchup here. Yep. Against this Clipper squad. Well, here's the other deal. We saw these two teams play in Milwaukee, and we saw the Clippers be the better squad for a lot of that game. And then Giannis just took over in the fourth quarter. It was Giannis's big performance of the year, 36 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 assists. We also saw, Aaron, that game go well under. That number right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, unavailable. But the last time that they played, there were only 205 points scored in a game that had a total of 233. So for me, the leans right now, the Clippers at home, they're hot, they're playing well, and they were the better team for the lion's share in that one against Milwaukee. And I think you'd have to lean under. I think in a game like this that has that playoff type of vibe, unless there's a massive adjustment and the total is sub 230, I think it's a little bit tighter, and I think it plays towards the under.
Yeah, and especially when you have two great teams, sometimes they do trend towards playing under just because of better defenses, and it's going to be such an important game. Given that the Bucks basically sat their entire team to let the Knicks get the win just so they were well-rested for this game, means they're going to come out probably pretty hot. Yeah. I'm very upset this game is at 10 o'clock tonight because I needed it to be around 7 p.m. Eastern so that I could actually watch it. But since we talked about the Knicks, they're playing the Heat tonight, the Miami Heat. Need a win here to snap their six-game losing streak. The New York Knicks, obviously, looking for a win after winning four of the last five games, including that one over Milwaukee. But again, they sat everybody most recently. That was their win as, you know, on the road. But Miami right now laying 4.5. Why is that so long considering they are on a six-game losing streak?
Yeah, it's a good question because the Knicks right now are performing really well against the number. And, I mean, heck, they've now won three basketball games in a row, even if there's been some oddities with, you know, what Milwaukee put forward on the table. Six straight losses for the Heat. They haven't covered in any of these games. They're a really tough squad to back right now as road 4.5-point favorites. Plus Victor Oladipo not going to be making the debut. This feels like a spot, though, where everybody is going to be jumping all over the Knicks. This is a scary, scary kind of game.
Yes, it is. Stay with us here on the RL Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid and SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. There's 11 NBA games on the board tonight, and we just want to wrap up talking about the Heat-Knicks. Heat laying 4.5 right now, a spot where Kevin mentioned before the break, people might be backing the Knicks tonight, but the Heat definitely need the win after a 6-game losing streak.
Yeah, absolutely. The one other thing I wanted to bring up with this game is as it relates to the Eastern Conference standings. The Knicks are now the 4 seed in the East with their 3-game winning streak. The Heat, with their 6-game losing streak, are down to the 8th seed. On the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, they have some options that you can bet to make or to miss the playoffs. All of them are Eastern Conference teams, okay? You've got the Knicks -144 to the yes, despite being the 4 seed. Why is that? Well, it's still because there's only 2 games of separation from the Knicks and the Pacers, and the Pacers are the 9 seed right now. That's the dangerous thing still about playing in this market, and it's why I wanted to bring it up, is that market, the yes or the no, is graded out after the play-in games. If the Knicks are 4, 5, or 6, you win your bet. If they are 7 or lower, though, you need them to get through those play-in games. That's where we talk about trying to find this value and trying to figure out where we can possibly make some money with these squads. I think the Knicks are interesting because they very well could avoid that play-in right now. But this is what's going to be difficult with this market, as the play-in currently features the Celtics, the Heat, the Pacers, a Bulls team that just made a big move for an all-star, and the team right outside the mix, the Toronto Raptors. You would think those teams could get themselves into one of those 4 or the 5 spot. If not, though, it'd be great for Knicks to make the playoff backers.
Yeah, for sure. And like we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, the Eastern Conference is completely wide open. So teams like the Heat, they need to get these wins no matter what. Even if it's against a team that, you know, is not that great, they cannot afford to keep dropping games, especially in that conference. But another game on the board tonight that I wanted to mention, Golden State hosting Chicago, looking to end its 3-game home losing streak. The Warriors have gone 13-9 at home. Bulls 10-9 on the road. Chicago has a 16-8 record against teams below 500. Just something to keep in mind. Now, these teams squared off for the first time this season, with the Warriors winning 129-128 in the last meeting, December 27th. But Steph Curry, of course, led Golden State with 36 points in that game. Zach LaVine led Chicago with 33 points. Steph is questionable for this game. Again, I know he has been out. Bulls right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook laying 4.5. Are you going with the Bulls here with the easy win, or would you sprinkle some money potentially on the fact that Steph Curry could be available for this game?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, right? I think it was Damian Lee who hit a game winner for the Warriors in that game. And I think that actually might have been like the Warriors' first win of the season, because they got slaughtered by the Nets and the Bucks in their first 2 games. The interesting thing is, of course, not just whether or not Steph plays, but what in the world is now going on with the Golden State defense. First games without Steph, the first 5 of them all cashed the under. Well, now it's 2 straight overs. And it's not really because they figured out things on the offensive side of the basketball, and it has a lot more to do with the fact that their defense is just an absolute nightmare right now. They gave up 141 points to the Sacramento Kings, and then gave up 124 points to the Hawks, and the Hawks scored like 100 through 3 quarters. They, again, just completely dominated them. I look at this game and I look at this spot here for the Chicago Bulls, and an awesome road record. We've talked about that a lot here on the show, 14-5 against the spread on the road. No total just yet, but Aaron, I would look to maybe a Chicago Bulls team total over, maybe a first half team total over, as they try to continue to build that working relationship between Zach LaVine and their newly acquired all-star, Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to kind of mention here, Nikola Vucevic. I know you had mentioned to me in break how he hasn't been playing great, or at least didn't in his first game with them. So what are your thoughts on him potentially finding that chemistry with the team?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. I think they're going to still look to get him involved and get him involved early. In that matchup, he had 21-9 on 9 of 16 shooting. Not all that bad. Zach LaVine, though, did struggle a little bit. Only 18 points for Zach on 6 of 15 shooting. They got off to a really slow start. did the Bulls. They only put up 39 first half points, but in the second half, they scored 34 in the third and 31 in the fourth. That's why I'm drawn to a first half Bulls team total. Keep some of the momentum that you ended with against San Antonio and jump out here and get running against the Warriors defense that right now, Steph or not, has been awful.
Yeah. The Warriors need Steph back sooner rather than later. But like you said, defense has been awful. But in the NBA, there are 11 games on the board tonight. You can bet on all of them on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Kevin and I also wanted to talk about some NFL towards the end of the show. So we're going to get into some things here. Now, one thing that broke yesterday that is the NFL is expected to expand the regular season schedule to 17 games. Obviously, the league had played a 16-game regular season schedule since 1978. So a very long stretch. Now, Kev, players aren't too happy about this. I know we talked about it at the top of the show and also in the top of the second hour. But just overall, I know you've mentioned that it's going to be an ugly record, which is true. If you see, you know, 8-9, 9-8 or whatever, compared to, let's say, what we were seeing before. But what are your overall thoughts on the players being upset? Do you think they have a valid point of being upset? Yeah. Or do you think, what can they fix? Would it be the bye week? Could we change things in a different way? What are your overall thoughts?
Yeah, so that's one of my big points overall, is we need to fix the bye weeks in the NFL. I cannot have a team that has a bye week week 15 and another team that has a bye week week 13. That is insane. That you, a bye week, you are supposed to rest up, get healthy, get right. Okay? This year, you know what a bye week week 13? The Bucks. You know who won the Super Bowl? The Bucks. You think it maybe helped them that they got to catch their breath later than everybody else and then were able to get ready for the stretch run? They didn't lose a game. Didn't lose a game after they had their bye week. You know what an early season bye? The Packers. Week 5. You cannot make a team play 12 straight weeks and then go into the playoffs. That is ridiculous. They need to even up the byes. Week 8, 9, 10, or 7, 8, 9. I don't care that there's going to be less games. Fantasy football players, I'm sorry. But you have to make an adjustment here. This is something that has not been talked about enough for far too long. Hopefully this schedule change will put some people on to this. The disparity in bye week is laughable. The idea that I would play 4 games and then get a rest, and this other team then gets a rest, you know, in week 13 and then like gets to freshen right up for the postseason run. But you could even make an argument, it's crazy that the Tampa Bay Bucks had to play 12 straight weeks. They went into their bye week playing some pretty poor football, probably a little tired. We need to even this thing up, and we need to put way more teams on the bye in the middle of this season so it actually serves its purpose.
Does it seem like if we made, obviously we are not the commissioners here, we cannot make up the rules, but if there was just a league-wide bye, like you said, week 8, week 9, week 10, or something of that nature, where everybody had a week off, and then it kind of levels the playing field, like you said, with the Chiefs having that in week 13, the Packers having a week 5, like off the bat, when you think about that, you're like, oh, that is unfair, but that's just the way their schedules came about.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever go league-wide. I don't think they want to, you know, like the NBA has an all-star break, Major League Baseball, right, all these sports. I don't think the NFL ever wants to hand off a Sunday to anybody else. So I don't anticipate that.
Yeah, but if other leagues have, I know that maybe you don't anticipate it, but just with other leagues having that all-star break, so everybody has the same thing going on. Obviously, some of the star players playing it, so it's not really a break for them. But it just seems the disparity, like you said, is far greater than I even really noticed until we are having this conversation on air.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a fair point. It's not as if the NFL, it's so funny, but if you told someone, look, the NFL is going to shut down for a week, they'd be like, what? It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would they do that?
For sure.
But then if you explain to them that literally every other league does it, they'd be like, oh, yeah, why am I so against that? Why wouldn't we get every single team week 9 off? Now, if we're being realistic, it won't happen. But yeah, Aaron, it's a very fair and valid point. I think they're clearly changing the schedule. This is something that I think needs to be addressed and needs to be fixed because it's way too important. It's way too important.
And aside from obviously it being important for the different bye weeks, these players that have come out and been angry, such as Alvin Kamara, people were sending tweets last night. What are your thoughts about just overall some of these players being upset? What would be the fix for them? Do you think that potentially in some situations that these players are just going to be upset because they have to play another game? The NFL season is grueling. These players are going full contact, head-to-head, which is why you don't have as many games, of course, as, you know, let's say in the NBA or the MLB. There's no comparison to playing 16 games compared to some of these other leagues. But, Kev, just overall, do you think that the players would be happier with potentially, you said the bye thing, but also just having more rest, not playing that extra game?
Yeah, I think, well, that's probably the reason that they're frustrated. Again, 16 games of NFL football is already grueling, plus the teams that make it to the postseason and have to play those extra games. So now that everybody has to play a 17, I think, it's frustrating. You would hope that the way this thing was bargained, that they're going to benefit financially from it. Of course, it'll bring some more money into the league, that extra game, and it'll make the league more valuable. We saw... we talked to Rick Haro about this last week on Thursday, about the new streaming deals and all these different TV deals that the NFL has acquired, and how the salary cap is going to go up. I think he said somewhere around $70 million within the next 4 years. So from that perspective, it's good. But I think also you're probably seeing for some of these players the, you know, couple extra dollars, you know, you act like it's $5. It's obviously more than that. But for them, you ask yourself, is it worth it? I wonder if, and again, you're going to open yourselves up to this stuff here if you're the NFL. I wonder if we could get teams being a little more judicious with their star players and if there's rest. Now, the reason it doesn't happen in the NFL is there's so few games. You don't have the ability to rest people, right? Major League Baseball is $162. In the NBA, NHL, 82 some odd games, right? So you don't have that ability in the NFL because every game is so important. You're never going to rest a quarterback.
Yep.
But you know what? Maybe do you say Alvin Kamara? That's all right. Just take a breather this week. Hey, you know what, Julio? It's all good. We'll get him next week.
That will not be good for betters. I'll tell you that right now.
Betters,
especially anytime
players,
touchdown scores. If I'm playing that and then they get benched right before the game, I'm going to be pretty disappointed.
100%. It'll be an absolute
but, nightmare. But also, quickly before we wrap up this segment, I just want to talk about the NFL draft. Eagles obviously getting that number 12 spot. Dolphins get the number 6 pick. Niners went out from 12 to 3. Just your thoughts on this, because obviously this broke on Friday after the show.
Yeah, there's a lot here to digest. A lot. And I think a little bit later on in the week, when college basketball isn't dominating the world, we'll likely need to expand on this trade. Maybe I'll leave it a little bit here in the final segment. We can give a couple of more words. I'll just say we're in a position now, the first four picks of the 2021 NFL draft might be quarterbacks.
Yes, they might be. All right, so this here on the Roadline, we'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. It is now time to do our segment called Set the Line. So the Eagles, Kev, move from the 6th pick to the 12th pick in the NFL draft. This broke on Friday. So my Set the Line is, how quickly will Eagles fans throw in the towel this season? Obviously, we are both Eagles fans. If you can't see me right now and you're listening on SiriusXM, there's an Eagles helmet behind me. So Kev, set the line right now for when do you think Eagles fans are going to throw in the towel this season?
Yeah, so this is, of course, the producer behind the scenes, Brian, Cowboy fan, goes week one. Some racket from him. Probably still crying they don't have Andy Dalton. Look, here's the deal. A lot of people have already thrown the towel in if they're Eagles fans. I'm very
annoyed. I may be one of them.
Oh, my gosh. And what are we going to do here? Look, the Eagles did a good job. Why don't Eagles fans get this? They got an extra first-round pick. These dummies now can't draft a quarterback at 6 or at 3, which is phenomenal because now we can let Jalen Hurts play. And here's the other thing, and I was told I was crazy for this. Well, I'm sticking by it. at the 12th spot, one of the big three wide receivers, Devonta Smith, Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, or Kyle Pitts will be available for the Eagles at 12. Now listen, I can't guarantee the Eagles draft them. They stink at drafting.
Well, that's the problem.
Justin Jefferson.
That's why I think Eagles fans throw it in.
I'll be honest with you.
Because we don't trust them when in the draft.
If we don't get a good first-round pick, the over-run, like, you set the line, night one of the draft is basically where we're at. And then if we get a good pick, you'll have to make a new adjusted line for, like, week one. Because nobody's going to give Hurts any time. Listen. I'm already just kind of preparing the battlefield here. I'm going to be arguing for Jalen Hurts, not only apparently against Cowboys fans and Giants fans and Washington football fans, but apparently against my own people, against Eagles fans. So I set the line at all of you jabronis quitting, and that includes you, Aaron, night one of the NFL draft, but I'm not giving up. I'm pumped. The Birds are going to have a good year.
I'm going to have to set it at week two. I mean, I think he can come out and maybe we win the first game. Fans get excited. Then the second game we lose, it's out. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on The Early Line.
Sports info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.